Good afternoon. All right, you can hear me. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to see all of you today. My name is Guibert Etienne. Now, the last time I told somebody my name, yesterday I told somebody my name, and they looked at my name and said, Etienne. They paused for a moment, and I said, go ahead and ask me. And he said, are you related to the football players? And I wanted to say yes, to see if I get some kind of perks, but no, I'm not. I am not related to the running back here at UF, and the guy who played for Clemson. You remember? Did anybody know? Anybody know about football here? Anybody? Okay. All right. All right. So my name is Guibert. I am glad to be here with you today. I want to thank Pastor Ben for the invitation to be able to speak before you today, share God's word with you. I also want to thank the elders for being okay with me speaking. Amen, OJ, thank you. I want to thank also Lorraine and all those who are involved in making a decision for me to be here this morning. I have some history with this church. About 25 years ago, I went to school here at UF. And I remember Pastor Blanchard was the pastor here at the time. And I remember my roommate and I, Pierre, we were leaders of Campus Advent at the time, and now ACF, or Adventist Christian Fellowship. And I remember we did a joint worship session here before. Was anybody here back then? It was back in the early, amen. Around mid to late 90s? Yeah, around mid to the 80s, yeah, about that time. And so I remember worshiping here and the awesome experience when all of us were joined together in worship. It was an amazing experience. I remember I spoke to him this week, and I told him I was coming here to speak, and immediately he went back to that moment, because the history for us here and in Gainesville was such an amazing experience. I remember I came here another time again when I was pastoring in the Florida Conference, and I actually officiated a funeral here with Pastor Dan back some time ago when Pastor Dan was a pastor here. But I'm glad to be here today and have the privilege to speak with you and to share God's word. How are you doing today? Are you good? Amen. I have my beautiful wife here with me today. I want to give God praise for her, my wife Cindy. Amen. We've been married for 20 years. Amen, somebody. Yes. 20 years is a long time, one person. Hallelujah. 20 years. Now, I know some of you are married 30, 40, 50 years. I'm coming to get you. I'm on my way. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. We have four beautiful children together. Three girls and one boy, Gabby, Faye, Jonathan, and Madison. And the Lord has blessed us richly, and we're thankful. And I am now privileged as well. My dad passed a couple of years ago. And this year, so we decided to bring my mom up to live with me. My mom is here as well. My mom is there. I said, wave, mommy. Wave your hand. There you go. Amen. My mom is here. She lives with me now. And we thank God that I am in a position to be able to support her at this stage in her life. You know, your parents carry you and they take care of you. And you don't know what life will bring, but I'm glad that God has blessed me with the opportunity to be able to take care of her. You know, I read a book by Robert Munsch. I don't know if anybody's read that book before. Robert Munsch, you know the author? Robert Munsch, he writes children's books. And there in one of the books, it shows Robert Munsch as a kid and how his mom took care of him and cradled him. She fed him, and he grew up. He read the book. Amen. And then he grew up, and he went on his life and did his thing. And then you fast forward to the end of the book, you have Robert Munsch now cradling his mom in her arms in her old age. So let me tell you, I didn't get a chance to take care of my dad the same way, but I'm grateful to God. I can do it for my mom. Amen? Amen. I am, again, happy to be here in this church. I want to recognize Pastor Ted Modell. Pastor Modell was a good mentor to my roommate and I, Pierre. Pierre is now secretary of Southeastern Conference. But Modell was a good mentor to us, he and his wife, and when we were here in undergrad. So I want to just give God praise for Pastor Modell. Where is he? He's in the back? Outside? Okay, all right. I just want to acknowledge him and recognize him today and thank God for his presence. I want to thank all of you I think being here brings back a lot of memories. I kind of had to get that out. Good to see Andrew there. He was here when I was here. OJ was here when I was at UF. Dr. James, good to see you. And it's a lot of people. Just wanted to take time to acknowledge and give God praise that we can be here together. Amen, Lorraine. Amen. So, this morning, I have a word to share with you. Well, what time is it? I don't have a time, so you got to tell me to keep me on time. Is it afternoon yet? 12:20? Oh, my. Okay, so if it's 12:20, remember it's 12:20. I didn't keep you here this long. I'm just getting started. All right, 12:20, amen. So we'll try to keep it brief in order to get you out of here. I know there's lunch as well, I believe. So bear with me again, Pastor Ben. Thank you. Continue to pray for your pastor and his wife, Raquel. What do you say amen for them, please? Give them a round of applause. Amen. They're a good ministry team, and we thank God for them and ask that you continue to shower them with your love, continue to strengthen and bless them because God has called them to serve in this vineyard at this particular time. Amen? Amen. Would you bow with me now, your heads with me, as we look at our subject, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Father in heaven, we pause this morning to say thank you. Thank you, God, for what you do. We could never plan it as well as you have. We could never imagine the wonderful things that you would do. Father, you are great, and we acknowledge your greatness today. We come before your presence asking you that you will watch over each and every one of us. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, you step in and you speak. If there's anything I'm going to say that is not according to your will, Lord, remove it. Let only your will be done. Father, may you be seen today. May you be glorified. Now, you know I don't speak like you do. I can't translate like you can translate. I can't articulate or enunciate like you can. And because of who you are, and because you know every heart of man and woman and boy and girl in this place, because you know their hearts, speak directly to each of them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep moving forward. I came here in 1996 as a freshman at UF. And I came here, you can tell by my name that I was born in this country. I was born in the Bahamas. My parents are of Haitian background. So I came to this country. I came to the school not yet being a citizen. I came to UF on a scholarship that took care of my academics and all of and books and those sort of things. But primarily, everything else was on me. I didn't have a green card yet. And so I would be considered one of those people you call illegal, in a sense. I was here at UF studying. My parents sent me here because I'm a first-generation college student. They didn't have much to give me to come. I came here with $500 in my pocket, a suitcase, and a pillow, riding on the Greyhound bus. It was an amazing experience for me because I was walking away from home. I was stepping out on my own. I was now going to be an adult. So I was excited about my journey. But I must tell you that at the beginning of my journey, my parents were at first okay with it, but my brothers, my eldest brothers, they were like, you should not go to Gainesville. One, you don't know anybody. Two, you don't have any papers yet. Where are you going? Stay home. There are good enough colleges here in South Florida, in Miami. Why are you going to Gainesville where you have no sort of support? But I knew if I stayed in South Florida, I knew if I remained there, there is no way I would accomplish much in my life because I knew my family dynamics. I understood my friend circle, so I had to get out. I praise God I got accepted here, and I came. I came to UF. And I must tell you, it was the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. Well, not in my entire life, but it was the best decision I've ever made at that point in my life. You know, my wife is standing right there, right? I got to be careful. But I'm glad I came. But my choice to come here to UF was not without its challenges. Within 1 week of my time here in Gainesville, all the money I had was gone. I had no more food. I was living in Talbot Hall, and Talbot does not have any kitchen in there, and so you buy stuff that can keep you while you're in your dorm. My money ran out. There was no money left. There were days I would go hungry with no food to eat, Jeff. There were days when I would wonder how I'm going to make it to the next day. As a matter of fact, whenever my hallmates bought pizza, I would go from room to room, knock on the door and say, "Hey, what's up? How you doing? Jonathan, can I get a piece of pizza?" And so whoever shared a slice of pizza with me will be my dinner for the day, for the night. And that's how I survived through freshman year. I remember particularly one day, I was going to my music lit class. In my music lit class, I don't remember the hall, but those of you college students here, you know what I'm talking about, near Turlington on the other side by the bell tower. What's it called? Oh, thank you. I remember sitting in class, and I couldn't think. I couldn't process anything because my mind was empty. I couldn't focus. I had no food in my stomach. There was no glucose in my brain. Nothing. And so when I left, all I remember, the professor said, "Class dismissed." And see me walking down that road, so I can't remember the name of it now, and I am stumbling. I am walking. You would think I was drunk because I'm trying to make it home. I had no food in my body. I finally somehow made it to my dorm room. I fell on my knees, got to my bed, and I began to cry. And I began to pray. And I began to remember how they taught me to read my Bible. So I went back to my scripture, and I began to read the promises. And so while I'm reading the promises, I am crying. And while I'm crying, Susan, I'm praying. I am praying, I'm crying, I'm reading the word until I fell asleep. I fell asleep that way, and brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I woke up the next morning revived. I had energy. Where did it come from? Nothing changed. I had no food in my stomach. But somehow, I was revived with energy. And I must give God praise. I still praise him till this day. Because I had no idea, but a miracle happened in my life that day. The Lord kept me while I was at Gainesville, like finishing 4 years, the time I was supposed to finish. And I got all my stuff I needed to. And I praised God that I went through UF. But UF wasn't without its challenges. I'm telling you this story, brothers and sisters, for one reason and one reason only. There will be times in your life when you got to step out on faith. There'll be times in your life when the path ahead of you may not look clear. There'll be times in life when there will be obstacles and you have to fight through. I want to encourage you, muster enough faith, pull up your pants and step out on faith. You don't know what's going to happen. You may not be able to see before you. There will be difficulty. There will be challenges. But keep on stepping in faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. Keep on stepping in faith. The Lord kept me all those years. He helped me understand that when I have a relationship with him, all I need to do is hold on and keep moving forward. So today, we're going to look at the story of a community of believers who had to step out in faith, had to move forward despite the circumstances. If you would open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 14, and I'll read you here in verses 1 to 15. Exodus 14, verses 1 to 15. Thank you so much for reading the scripture this morning. Did a very great job. Excellent job. Actually, I heard you preach one Sabbath, and I think you got some skills, my friend. Exodus chapter 14, reading from verses 1 to 15. Exodus 14, reading verses 1 to 15. I'm reading the New King James Version. When you have it, please say amen. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Phi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army. And the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt and the people had fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. Verse 8 says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, that they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. There are three things I want to talk about today as we look at the idea of keep moving forward. 3 points. One, do not be afraid because of your past. What did I say, everybody? Do not be afraid because of your past. Point number two, be still and keep silent. Point number two is, be still and keep silent. And point number three, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Point number one, do not be afraid because of your past. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 12 says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because, OJ, there are no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. The Bible says, Andral, in when the children of Israel saw Pharaoh, Pharaoh's army pursuing them, they were afraid and they panicked. Just moments before, listen, they saw Pharaoh's army, but just moments before in verse 8, the Bible describes them as walking out of Egypt with boldness. Their chest was held up high. They were excited, confident, celebrating, knowing that they were leaving Egypt. But just like that, in a blink of an eye, the minute the people saw Pharaoh's army, They threw their hands in the air and panicked. All of a sudden, that confidence in verse 8 was gone. Their boldness gave way to anxiety. Their boldness gave way to fear. They said to Moses in verse 11 and 12, because there were no graves in Egypt, that's why you brought us out here? Why have you so dealt with us? Why didn't you leave us back in Egypt? Do you see what is happening here? The minute the people saw Pharaoh coming after them, not only did they become afraid, they began to have regrets of leaving. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever made a decision in your life? Have you ever made a decision to walk away from something? To walk away from someone? But the minute challenges come up as a result of that decision you have made, the minute difficulty arises because of that decision, do you begin to doubt? Do you begin to wonder, why did I do this? Do you begin to be afraid of your future now because of the decision you made? Well, I must tell you, you are no different from the children of Israel. And they are no different from you. They only started to get afraid. They only started to have regrets because they saw Pharaoh, because they saw their past behind them. The truth is, there are some of us in here today. There are some of us who are watching online. When you look back at your past, when you look back at what used to be, when you look back at the decisions you've made, some of you live in regret. There are some of you who have fear to make decisions about moving forward because you're looking back at the decisions you made in the past. Looking back at the past produces fear. It shackles us from being able to move forward. It keeps us stayed in our seat. There are some of us who dwell on the past so much that we are unable to move forward in our lives. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, there are some of us in here who are so stuck in the past that it begins to spill over into the church. Come on, somebody. We are so stuck in the past that we prevent the church from moving forward. Some of us are so stuck of how teens used to be because of our own personal fears, because of our own personal challenges in life, that we hold the church up from progressing the way it needs to. Y'all quiet today, boy. Y'all real quiet today. But I know the reality about life is that nobody wants to make mistakes. When we look back and we see what is behind us, we oftentimes don't see the miracles of God. Oftentimes we see what we have done or should have done or should not have done. And today, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know something. Because you're walking with Jesus, because God is a part of your life, you don't need to be afraid about the future. You don't need to worry about your past. Because in your past, God was there. In your present, God is here. And in your future, He is already there. So you don't have to worry. Just step forward in faith. Don't let the past hold you back. Don't let your past hold up this church. Trust in God and move forward. The Bible says the children of Israel saw Pharaoh. And they became afraid, and they cried out to the Lord with fear and regret. Listen, brothers and sisters. Don't become afraid of moving forward in your life because of your past. Don't become afraid of stepping out in faith because of your mistakes. Don't be afraid because of the obstacles along the way. Don't be afraid. You know why? Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, "The Lord himself goes before you," the Bible says, "and will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you." So do not be afraid. Do not be encouraged, because Romans 8, verse 28 says this. If you're going to evaluate your past, evaluate from this perspective. Romans 8, 28 says, "All things, brothers and sisters, all things, the good and the bad things, all things work together for a good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." Somebody say amen. Amen. So it doesn't matter what your past looked like. It doesn't matter what transpired back then. Because you love God, because God is with you, yes, because he is in your life, God's going to take all of that, and he's going to put it together like the potter, and he's going to make you into something special. So trust God and step out on faith. Point number two, be still and keep silent. Be still and keep silent. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Moses says to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Moses said to the people, "Stand still, and you shall hold your peace. Stand still, and you shall hold your peace." Another version says, "Be still and keep silent. Be still and keep silent." In other words, Moses was saying to the people, chill out. Quell your anxious spirit. Be calm and hush the voices in your head. Hush your mouth. Let me explain. There are times when our fears can create negative self-talk. Let me say that one more time. There are times our fears can create negative self-talk. Sometimes we tell ourselves that we are failures, that we messed up. I should not have done that. I should not have gone this way. Our negative self-talk then creates doubts, and we become more fearful and anxious over time. And it leads to us feeling insecure. That's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, "For if our hearts condemn us," I'm not pointing here, I'm pointing here. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things, brothers and sisters. God is greater than your heart and knows all things. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So when Moses told the people to be still and keep silent, it's because the people were dealing with their own fears and anxious spirit. And as they were dealing with their own fears and anxious spirit, it not only was in their heads, it began to spill out of their mouths. And it began to share how they were feeling and their experiences. And then people began shouting, yes, I feel the same way. And it began to share and it spread. It starts to spread. And then all the crowd became negative and began to get fearful and afraid as they saw Pharaoh. And all of this spilled over and the crowd panicked. Can I pause here for a second? Brothers and sisters, whether in church or on your jobs or whatever organization you belong to, if you have concerns about how you see things going, if there are changes happening that you don't agree with, don't go off to the corner and say, and then come over here and say, oh my gosh, yes! Share it. Go. Don't share it out. Go and talk to your leadership. Go in private and have a conversation. Because when you begin to spread and begin to share and express your fears to one person and then share with another person, it begins to snowball. And next thing you know, the whole church is in disarray. And the worst thing you expected is what comes to fruition because of the instability you've created through your fears. Whenever you have any challenges, anything you see going on, talk to Pastor Ben. Talk to OJ. Talk to your leadership. But don't spread it. If you're at work, talk to your leadership. And if you can't talk to your leadership because you don't trust them, then keep it to yourself and talk to the Lord. We must be careful that we don't share and spread our thoughts and negativity around to others. So Moses said, be still and keep silent. Because the people needed to quiet the noise in their heads and they needed to stop speaking the fears into the crowd. They needed to be quiet enough to be able to hear God's voice and see him move. You know, I was watching a video, and there was this lady, she just came home, and her husband was about to go to bed, and she was telling her husband that she has a big thing coming, she needed God's direction in her life. And so, her husband said, well, why don't you talk to the Lord about it? Why don't you pray and talk to the Lord about it? She said, you know what, I will do that. So that night, she prayed and asked God to give her clarity and direction as to what she should do. Next morning, she wakes up, she does the normal routine, you know, she gets breakfast ready for the kids and to get them out of the house. She got herself together. She went to work. She was in her conference meeting with her colleagues and clients. And then later in the day when she got home, she picked up the kids and got them together. She went out for a run, for a jog in the day. She had her headphones on, just going for a jog and exercising and doing those sort of things. And she got home and she was folding laundry and doing all those things, talking to a friend on the phone. And then from there, she did whatever her nightly routine was, and then she went to bed. And her husband asked her this question before she went to bed. Did you hear God talking to you today? She said, no. I guess he doesn't want to talk to me. And then the caption comes on, God is speaking. Are you listening? Moses had to quiet the people down long enough that not only for them to hear God's voice, but for him to be in a right space in his head to come before God to hear what God wanted him to do. My brothers and my sisters, there are times, no, their ministry is teamwork. Each of you working together to accomplish the work of God. But if one of us is not listening to the voice of God, if one of us are so busy that we can't hear clarity from God's voice, when everybody says yay, you may say nay because you weren't listening. It is so important that we each are intentional in listening to the voice of God. In your homes, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, are each of you praying to the Lord? Are you on your knees? Are you listening to the voice of God? Because if God is leading your husband this way, and he's listening to God's voice, but you are not, dear wife, there will be friction and conflict. Oh, husband, what if your wife is listening to God's voice and he's leading in this direction, but you are so busy with life and everything that you're not hearing his voice? When she's saying God is leading this way, there'll be conflict. You have to be on the same page. And the way you get on the same page is if you both are listening to the voice of God. We must always together be listening to the voice of God if we're going to lead our children correctly. Let's move on. Time's coming up. Point number three. This is my last and final point. Moses said to keep, be still and keep silent. We must move forward in our fears, past our fears. But the Bible says, Jesus told Moses, because Moses came to God, and God said to him, keep moving forward. Point number three, verse 15 of Exodus chapter 14. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Why would he tell Moses that? Because the impact of the people also affected the leader. The fears of the people also affected the leader. He said, Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the children of Israel to move forward. When Moses came crying to the Lord, the Bible says the Lord was ready. As a matter of fact, God had already planned it. He was already prepared. You don't believe me? Let's look in the scripture. Look at verse 1 to 4. Here's what the Bible says. And now the Lord spoke to Moses. Now, he and Moses had a conversation prior. So why is Moses crying? They had a prior conversation. Listen to this. Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon, you shall camp before it by the sea. For, what is he saying? For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor. I will gain honor. I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. The Lord already told Moses, Pharaoh is going to say to his people, they are bewildered in the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. The Lord said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. Now, I got to pause there for a second, because when God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, let me clarify. He's not saying that he actually made Pharaoh's heart hard. He's not actually said he made Pharaoh stubborn. What he is saying is that Pharaoh was so bent and so determined to pursue the children of Israel that Pharaoh would not listen to any counsel from the Lord. The God was talking to Pharaoh all through this time. I want you to know something. Whether you believe or not, God talks to everybody. God's trying to win everybody to the kingdom of God. Amen. So God was working on Pharaoh. He was talking to Pharaoh, trying to get Pharaoh to submit to him. But because he knew Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was so bent on doing his own thing, God pulled away. He said, okay, I'll let you go. Oh, Jesus. I don't ever want God to pull away from me. I don't want when God is reaching out to me for me to say, God, I ain't got time for you right now. If you listen to me online, if God is reaching out to you, do not say no. We don't know when God will stop pursuing us. We don't know when he'll say, okay, you go and move to your own devices. But when God is reaching and tugging on your heart, listen. Come to him. Don't resist. It is your moment of salvation. Pharaoh refused to listen to the Lord. And the Bible says his heart hardened because God stepped away and allowed him to continue as he wanted to. And so God knew Pharaoh would be so determined to come that God was already prepared. He was already ready. Brothers and sisters, Pharaoh pursued the children of Israel. but God was ready. I want you to know, no matter what's going on in your life right now, God knows your situation. He knows your past, your present, and your future. Don't think that where you are, God is surprised by your station. He's not surprised by your position. He's not surprised by your situation. He already knew, and he's got a plan for it. The same way he had a plan for the children of Israel. So, brothers and sisters, when you find that you are concerned about tomorrow, talk to the one who already knows what you need to do. Amen? The Lord says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Why are you too becoming anxious? Tell the people to move forward." Move forward, my brothers and sisters, despite the pain and the challenges. Move forward, my brothers and sisters, despite the difficulties in your life. Move forward. Move forward. My family and I, during the pandemic, was watching a documentary, an animal show with David Attenborough. You know who he is? On this particular program, he was talking about turtles. Was it turtles? No, lizards. Lizards. Lizards, I think, their eggs were laid by the shore, and they had to, when they hatched, they had to make this long trek over the mountains in order to get to safety. I want you to listen to this very carefully. They instinctively knew where they needed to go. And somehow it's embedded in them that journey will be fraught with difficulty. They knew along that path there were snakes who were positioned there, ready and waiting for them. Listen. The snakes knew that every year around this time, the lizard would run past, and it was their time to eat. Now, I want you to know something. The snakes can't see. They're unable to see the lizards running, but they can detect movement. So the lizards know that they got to make it, but the snakes are there. They got to go over that mountain, but the snakes are there. So the text says, without hesitation, come on, somebody, without hesitation, they took off. And you see the lizards just running and running. And the snakes felt and heard the pitter-patter of their footsteps. And boom, went after it caught them. And not just one person attacking one lizard. They all jumped on a lizard. There are so many snakes attacking a lizard. And most of the lizards did not make it because of the snakes eating and biting at them. But there's this one lizard, Jesus, there's this one lizard who ran just like everybody else. And the snakes attacked him the same way. And you saw him go down. But brothers and sisters, he got up again and started moving forward. And the snakes attacked him again, and he went down. And then he got up and started moving again. And then he attacked him, and he went down. But he kept on going because he knew where he's trying to go. They knocked him down, but he got down, and he got up again. They knocked him down, but he got up again. They knocked him down, but he got up again. He got up again and again and again until he made it through the other side. The Bible says a righteous man will fall 7 times, but each time he will get back up again. I want you to know something. The devil doesn't know what God has planned for you. He doesn't know what God has placed in your heart. All he knows is that he can detect when you are moving forward. Whenever you're moving forward, the devil knows. And so he would attack you. He would send trials after trials, tribulation after tribulation after you to knock you down. But you have to be like that lizard. You have to stand strong like that lizard. And you have to get back up. He may knock you down, but you get back up again. He may knock you down, but you get back up again. He will throw stuff at you, but you have to get back up. Because you know, on the other side, on the other side is glory. On the other side is our Father in heaven. On the other side is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have to get up and keep on going. Jesus Christ was knocked down. He was put on the cross, Jeff. Nailed to the cross. But that wasn't enough to hold him down. Because early Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, Jesus Christ, right, he rose up again with all power in his hands. My brothers and my sisters, if we are going to make it to the kingdom, because our Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for you. And he's coming back for me. He is coming again. So you do what you have to do. You get back up and keep on moving forward.